One of the things we never, never, never must do, cannot do, and that is to define God's love for us according to the circumstances of our lives. In other words, if you use circumstances as the dictionary of God's love, you will be sorely mistaken and you'll miss so much of the kingdom of God. In other words, if we think, well, when things are good and the circumstances are good, then God is showing His love to me. But if things aren't going well, if I've got a financial setback, if I've got a relational snafu, if I've got some problem at work, if I can't quite pay my bills, then God's love must be dwindling, going south, not really there. But if everything's peaches and creams and everything's going well, we're happy, whoo, God's showering His love on us. That cannot be the dictionary to allow circumstances to define God's love. If you do, you will misdefine God. For indeed, if we think about Jesus on the cross, suffering for you and me, right then, you look at the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. And you think, boy, well, that would be inconsistent, wouldn't it? Because if we use the wrong dictionary, saying circumstances defines God's love, and if circumstances define God's love for us, then He must not have loved Christ very much. Because that wasn't a very good circumstance. But no, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You see, it is the Bible that defines God's love regardless of circumstances and situations. You have to be able to say, that's a given. God loves us more than we'll ever know, plus a little bit more. Now we can deal with the situation. And it does not have any connection that when the situation's bad, God's love is bad. No. You have to remember this, that God's love doesn't end when circumstances go bad. It actually begins, because He's not done yet. But if you fall victim to the circumstance, then you'll never understand the power of God's love to redeem what you're going through, because we've given up and our patience has dried up. So then we stop. Remember that it is not what life hands you. It's what you make of life. It's not what you get. It's what you make of what you get. That's the love of God. And one day you turn around and say, wow, look at the power of God's love where nothing is impossible. So never use the wrong dictionary, because it'll make you misconceive God's love. So also, life never comes in neat packages and wrapped in tinsel and bow. Sometimes it comes in barbed wire and distressed packaging in wrinkle paper. And that's the gift that you have to do something with. But if you take a look at God, He's famous at doing that. He's famous at taking something that seems to be bad and turns it into something good. That's when His love begins, not ends. That's His DNA. I mean, if you take a look at even how God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says in the beginning, the earth was formless and void. Do you think that meant God didn't love mankind? No, that's when His love began and turned it into light and what we have today. You see that the love of God begins there. Because life is going to start there a lot of times. And you look at God's handprint on everything that He creates. He takes something bad and His DNA turns it into something good. Even the way He creates, it just happens that way. That's because we have that Creator. His DNA goes into, as it were, what He creates. For example, you take a look at the trees and the median strip or the plants. As cars go by, they take in something that would be deathly and deadly, carbon monoxide, and it gives back oxygen, pure oxygen. What it does is it converts it and gives back something much better than it received. That's just how God creates trees and plants. They all do that. You take a look at the seed that's in a dirty ground, and it brings forth fruit and life. You take a look at water out in the ocean. You think, oh, I can't drink that salty water. It will kill you. It will. But if you take a look at just God's thumbprint on everything, the water then evaporates, goes from a liquid state into a vaporous state, And when it evaporates, it's like a natural desalination plant. It separates the salt from water as it goes into a vapor state. It then collects millions of gallons in the air, held by clouds. It floats to the mountains. It rises. It precipitates. It gives back not salty water, but what? pure water. That's, if you just take a look at how God created the world, His thumbprint is on everything, of taking something that could be deathly and turning it into something good. And you look at, even more than that, you take a look at animals, the way animals are. Animals do the same thing. Fruit trees do the same thing. You take a look at when the rain comes down, it collects in mud puddles, and it could be bacteria laden. But that orange root, the orange tree root, sucks in that dirty, filthy water and somehow purifies it so that when it goes up and puts it into juice in an orange, same water, but it takes it, cleans it, puts it into juice in an orange, and when you take that rind off, you have no problem being fully confident and just eat the thing, and you don't even worry about all the dirty water that it sucked up to put into your orange, do you? No, none of you ever think, ooh, I wonder if this is good. Let's test it first, see if it... No, you have confidence because you know that's how God creates. And as I said with animals, take a look at the cow. It goes and chomps on the grass, eats worms and bugs along with it, and some dirt. It brings it in, mixes it with bile and stomach acid, lures it up and mixes it more, swallows it, mixes it. What is he doing? He's kind of cleansing that stuff. And then finally it goes in and it comes into the milk you drank this morning. But you have full confidence to drink that milk that comes out of the cow that really came from something dirty. And you take a look at that. Everything God creates, there's just this, the thumbprint of his DNA of turning something that would have been bad into something good. And you look what he did to mankind. God so loved the world that he came, not to condemn the world, but that through him the world would be converted. That's just who he is. Now watch this. You're going to have life given to you in some distressed packaging sometime. If you fall victim to that and say, God must not love me, you've missed who God is. But if you say, no, nothing is impossible. Lord, give me your power to be able to resolve this, figure it out. Help me by your Spirit to overcome this. Listen, when you are taking what life gives you and you're converting it into something better, not worse, not falling victim to it, but actually seeing it become something much better, you are never more like God. When you're doing that, that's his image in you. All of creation does it without even thinking. The reason it's tough for us sometimes is because God's given us choice. And it's not circumstances, it's our choice about circumstances that defeat us. It's our own choice. And so once we submit that to God and say, no, no, God's love is here, that's a given. And I'm gonna see what I can make of what has been handed to me. You're never more like God created you when you're doing that. And I've never seen it more extraordinarily done than this one young man whose name is Ben Underwood. He was, when he was 2 years old, almost three, he had cancer in both eyes. It had to be, they had to be surgically removed. And instead of just falling prey to that and victim to it, he began to rise above that. In fact, he began clicking with his mouth like a sonar. It's called echolocation. And hearing what it sounds like and bouncing off of walls or chairs, he could actually begin to navigate. He actually rides a bike. He is in martial arts. He writes. He plays video games. It's absolutely amazing. All because God is working with him and he is cooperating with him. I want you to see this video. It's absolutely astounding. Let's look.
At Sheldon High in Sacramento, 14-year-old Ben Underwood is a freshman like all the rest. Well, not exactly.
Hi, Ben. How you doing?
In his first week, many here haven't guessed that Ben has a secret.
Hi. Hey.
Good.
And you probably couldn't figure it out watching him in combat at karate class, or hitting his mark in a pillow fight, or zipping down the street on his rollerblades.
Did you get?
When you lost your eyes?
I was 2 years old, 2 weeks before my third birthday.
Ben had cancer in both eyes, but he discovered a way to beat his blindness.
I started clicking. I was like first, like, you know, I was like 6 years old.
He realized the clicking sound he made with his tongue bounced off things around him, giving him an idea what was there. Was it like seeing again?
Pretty much, yeah.
Ben says he can distinguish where the cars are as he cruises his neighborhood streets. Even though he can't see the basket he's aiming for, By listening for the distinctive echoes each makes, he can find the pole and backboard on a basketball goal and sink a basket.
It becomes easy to forget that Ben is blind.
Ha ha! That was luck.
How else to justify my pleasure when I put a couple of goals past him?
Ah, you thought you're so good.
I am good.
He is indeed. Ben beat me 5-2. Ah! Taking a walk with Ben, I was amazed at what he can see with his ears.
Well, there's a fire hydrant on the side and a car on this side. Wait, is that, no, that's a trash can or, that? Hold on, let me see. That's a trash can? Yeah, that's a trash can. Or a recycling bin, one of those.
Yeah.
Playing video games with his brother Isaiah in the assault of noise, Ben can figure out everything that's happening just by listening.
How can you even separate the sound?
Because they got different voices.
Nobody is going to tell him that there is an impossibility for him because there are none.
Mother doesn't give you any breaks because you're blind, does she?
Nah.
Why should he get a break? I can't get a break.
His mother, Aquanetta Gordon, insists he should have every opportunity but no pity. But he's blind.
No, he's not. I mean, you know, to society he's blind, but that doesn't make him handicapped. He just can't see.
Ben has much the same talent as the dolphins he visited at SeaWorld, the ability to use echolocation, returning sound waves, to sense his surroundings. His clicks even told him to step around a fallen trash bin.
I don't know how you do that.
But the secret to Ben's success goes beyond his clicks. Your mother, Aquanetta, has always told Ben he can do anything.
Once he said to me, he says, Mom, man, I wish I could see. And then I said, well, Ben, but look what you can do. I said, if we had a blackout right now, everybody have to follow you.
Before I introduce you to Ben, we need you to please hold your applause so he can use his clicking to walk out. Please come on out, Ben, without any applause, and his mother, Aqua, with him. Hey, Ben, it's Oprah. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Hi, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Nice to see you. There you go, right there. Have a seat. Hello, Aqua.
Hi.
Nice to see you, too. Welcome, Ben Underwood. You can applaud now.
An extraordinary story about an extraordinary young man and an extraordinary mom whose faith carried them through, and she kept speaking God's promises to him until they began to take hold. I wanted you to meet this mom and son. Would you welcome Aquanetta and Ben? You may be seated. Ben, you're getting all these candies all around you here. What's going on? They don't even give me that.
I'm special. I already ate some, too.
That's right. I noticed there's something missing there. Yeah. Aquanetta, when he had to have both of his eyes removed when he was 2 to 3 years old, how did it affect you as a mom?
The fear of the word cancer, you know, the first thought is like, oh, my God, my baby's going to die. Yeah. And God told me, he said, that he would live and not die. And he told me that he would see again. Of course, I didn't know he'd see like this. And when the second surgery, when they removed his eyes, he woke up from his surgery. Now, he was just he was 2 weeks before his third birthday. And he said, Mom, I can't see anymore. I can't see anymore. And I said, baby, yes, you can see. And I took his little hands and I put them on my face. I said, see me? You can see me with your hands. And then I put my hand to his nose. I said, smell me? You can see me with your nose. And I took his little ears and I said, you hear me? You can see me with your ears. I said, stop it. I told him, I said, baby, you can't use your eyes anymore, but you have your nose and your ears and That's your right. hands and... And he's been seeing ever since.
That's so good. And you stood on that promise, didn't you?
I'm telling you.
That he would not die, he would live.
He would not die and live. And till this day, I'm waiting for his eyes to grow in.
That's so good. Well, he's got good looking eyes. Pretty handsome young guy. Yeah. Don't take him out. Don't you dare. No.
See, you can give me $1 to take out my eye if anybody wants to see
nothing.
That.
You get nothing.
That's how I make my lunch money at school.
But you know, about 4 months ago, he was actually going to be with us at another time. But he actually went into surgery because they found another cancerous tumor in his brain. And so they had to go in with surgery and actually take that out. So this whole summer, he has been recuperating from that. In fact, under chemotherapy now. Ben, when you heard that news that you had to go in for another surgery, did that affect you? Because first of all, not only did they have to do surgery, they had to cut off all your dreadlocks and stuff that you had there. That was bothersome, huh?
Braids, not dreads.
Oh.
I had, on the surgery, they cut all these braids off. And then I had braids here, and braids here, and braids back here. I told everybody at church and everybody at school, they got to call me Predator.
How did you learn the clicking, the echolocation? Did you read it in a book? Did someone tell you about it? Did you just stumble on it? How did you come up with that?
it's just a development. It just happened. Just from being independent. I just learned how to just start clicking.
And what does it do? Bounce off of, and makes different sounds?
Yeah, like this is a big place, so I can just... And I can hear everything. Everything around here. Every wall, the ceiling, everything around. I can hear everything around me.
And people, can you tell there's people, lots of people? Because it could be nobody in here, you know? It just could be all recording.
Yeah, a little recorder with a whole bunch of laughing.
Yeah.
As I can tell, a lot of heads.
But no fat heads. No, just good heads. Do you ever get discouraged, Aquanetta, when things come up like this? And it's your own boy, you know, you love dearly. And as a mother's heart, do you ever get upset at God?
I never get upset at God. And the reason why is I do understand that God has told me that when we go through things in our lives, that it's not for us. It hurts, and I never want him to really know what I'm going through because, you know, I have to deal with it the way that I have to deal with it. And then he's old enough now that he has to deal with it the way that he deals with it. So I don't want him to feel my pain or my fear or what I'm going through. And I just give it to God and I say, okay, Lord, this is all yours. Have your way.
So you just go in the other room and cry and try your best not to.
Oh, yeah. It's been times I go in the room and I'll get in the bed and I'll kick and scream and holler and get it all out. And then I come out like, okay, I'm ready to go now. I can do another year.
But Ben, you know better, huh? Have you struggled with God? Have you been upset at God?
I try not to be the most I can. You know, it's really like, basically like, why? Why me? But Lord, why does this have to happen to me? So I made a promise to never ask why and to never say but.
Why is that? Just to protect your heart from doubts?
Just so that way I can discipline myself more and I could be a better person in Christ.
Isn't that great? Now, tell us what are some of the activities you do. You do any sports or you go to school and stuff? And what are some of the other things that you're involved in life?
I do karate. I used to do karate. And then I used to do wrestling, too. And I like football, but I don't want to play it in the regular sport at school because, like, I can't see the colors of the teammates.
So you so you just tackle anybody that comes near
anybody.
You.
Anybody.
It's me, your quarterback. Oh, sorry, dude.
Intercepting the wrong pass.
And karate, you take karate. Now, do you just click when the guy's throwing you a punch? You just kind of hear what?
Yeah, I'm like.
And so you just kind of sense where they're at, and then you just kind of go through the motions.
Yeah, like, they'll be like say somebody, like, they always put me with somebody at a really higher belt than me. So they'd be like, they'll say high or low. So I have to block high, and then I have to block low sometimes. But sometimes they be tricking me, so I got to click to up like, and I be catching them sometimes. And so, but see, I'm just as good, though. See, I'm flexible, so I just be like, they be like, right, left. Be dodging them.
Aquanetta, how much has your faith sustained you during these years? Because it's been, what, 15, 16 years? And tell me the importance of your faith.
Just knowing that God has told me that through it all, I'm here, that I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And I hold on to his word. I hold on to his promise. And that's what I tell him. I remind him what he say to me. I said, okay, Lord, now you told me that you're here. You said that. I didn't say that. You did. So I know that through it all, that he's always been there.
Now, listening to your mom, Ben, it seems like she can kind of get down on you sometimes for certain things. Do you ever get kind of frustrated with her? Maybe not with God, but what about your mom?
Man. She'll never like to listen to me.
Oh, here we go.
No matter what I do, she don't listen. And I got this thing on my chest, right? I'm on chemo, so I have this thing that goes in my chest and goes up and this way and in my heart. And she'll never like to listen whenever she has to change the bandage. The dressing, she'll never listen. Her hands get all nervous. She's like, every time I tell her, Mom, let me do it next time. Ben, be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, shut up.
Your typical teenager.
I'm the one who obviously knows what I'm doing. It's my dressing. And some, she really gets scared is when, like, say I walk home from school and I start sweating from the Sacramento heat. And so I'm taking the dressing off. I take it off all quick. She goes like this. I just go, and it's off. Like, Mom. She's like, oh, man, don't do that.
Ben, when you grow up, what do you want to be?
I want to be an inventor, actor, writer, and a game designer.
Wow. Inventor, actor, writer, game designer. Anything else? Well, all you guys have really inspired us. Sometimes we come to times in life where we think that life has kind of handed us a bad deal, and we fall victim to it. But you inspire us, and you help us to always remember that God is more than what we see. He is our promise. We want to thank you for that. Would you let Ben and Aquanetta know you love them? Would you extend a hand this way and let's pray for this family. Lord, thank you so much for Ben, for Aquanetta, for their family. Lord, they inspire us. They're a gift to the church. They're a gift to each of us to help us to remember that you are more than able and even a little bit more. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to gain strength and encouragement and inspiration for what we go through, always to remember that you are more than able. And you're far beyond our needs. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Lord, I will live. to me, Lord.
Each of us will be given life in varying packages. Sometimes it's distress, sometimes it's unfinished, but it all comes with God's promises, and that's what we need. No, not everything done up so it's in finished form. We need God's surety of his promises, the assurance of his promises. And then you can rise above, even as the book of Revelation says, to him who overcomes, I'll give the crown of life. And we shall overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So God gives to us that kind of fortitude inside, that strength, that tinsel strength that only his promises can give. And then he says to us, and by the way, run in such a way that you win. Run like that. And you will see the love of God one day as you turn around and you see that life wasn't handed to you in a neat package, but what God made out of it is far greater than anything you could ever imagine. You say, boy, God's love was with me all the way. God gives us a great, great promise, and never let go of that, that he will be with you. I remember reading about Billy Sunday, who was a former evangelist of long ago. He was just a firecracker. And he said, man, one day, he says with a little bit of humor, he says, one day when I meet the devil, I'm just going to punch his eyes out. And then if he cuts my arms off, I'll kick him to death. And if he cuts my legs off, I'll bite him to death. And if he plucks my teeth out, I'll gum him to death till I go home to glory. And I thought, that's the kind of fortitude every single one of us needs. You know, when we come to those places in life, we think, oh, what am I going to do? You can either fall victim to it or say, no, I got a long way to go. A long way to go. You see, I've come this far, and I'm glad for it, but I still got a long way to go because now the love of God begins. Now I start taking his instruction and taking control of what I need to take control over, and I'm making decisions that God wants me to make, and now is the time. I got a long way to go, and I'm glad because I got a lot to do yet, and God will be delighted to walk with you all the way. We're so glad for that. Happy 12th anniversary. What God has done is outstanding. What he does in the future will be even more so. Yep. We're going to pray and ask God to be with us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for what's coming up. We don't even know what's coming up, but Lord, we're glad you've brought us this far, and we've got a long way to go. We're happy for that because we've got a lot yet to do. There's so many more of our families that need to come to know you here in our state, in our nation. And there's still a lot of things in our hearts that you need to retrofit, recalibrate, change, transform, redeem, convert. So Lord, we're glad that you brought us this far, but we're glad we still got a long way to go, because we do. And we're excited about the journey that we have before us. Thank you, Father, for taking us this far. Thank you for allowing us to walk with you the rest of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.